you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, May 5th. 2017. Hummingbird sightings. Do I hear them out there? Get that nectar up. If you haven't done it yet, they're traveling through. They want to be fed, so get that nectar. And if you're going to make it yourself, I recommend like 3 to 1. Make it nice and sugary. And then after a few weeks, maybe go back to 4 to 1. But I don't put any dyes in it. It's just straight sugar and water. And actually, I have well water, so it gives out an odor or smell.
After your conversation on Wednesday about the Filippo's sweet red sauce, yeah, does the hummingbird feeder attract you, too?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, hey, you know what? Have you ever seen them, though? They have these things that keep the ants out. If you have any ant problems, it's like a bell. And some engineer, it has it so the ant can't crawl on it, because then they have to go up and in and down, and for whatever reason, it keeps the ants away. So we don't have any ant problems, and so they sell these things at most bird stores. But the rose-breasted grosbeaks are back. Orioles should be coming through, and all sorts of those of you that are birders should be having a field day. Mm. We had a new bird the other day. We haven't figured out what it is yet. It is either some kind of warbler or... Esther came up with a name of something that we think it was like all red, but not a cardinal. I know the difference between a cardinal and there's some golden finches and purple finches. And a purple finch is actually more red than purple. But anyways, this bird was a little bigger and all red. So we got to figure out if it's some kind of thrasher or I don't know. Anyways, it's birding time, everyone, so I won't bore you with all the birds.
You know a lot about birds.
I know. Well, Holly says, you know how much you spend on seed? Because I do. I go to Sam's Club. I go to Menards. I go to Farm and Fleet. When I read the ads, I just look to see if I can ever get bird seed close to like 50 cents a pound. Because I get big 10 and 15-pound bags. And, you know, if it's a 14-pound bag, I want it for like $8 or less.
So when the apocalypse comes, the birds know where to go?
Yeah, that's it. Well, we have like 9 feeders that we got to keep filled and... Sometimes people during the summertime or the spring and summertime, they start saying, hey, birds can fend for themselves. Mm. But I keep filling them up. I love having them because we have them hung right outside our window. What do you call that? Like a builder, the overhang?
I don't know, but I don't think it's good for the environment for you to create codependent birds.
Yeah, that's right.
Birds that are like, naturally, we would forage for food right now. But you know what? The burns have seed out all the time.
Let's just get fat and drink it in. So
then, and the squirrels are probably in the bushes going, soon they won't be able to fly. We'll get them.
Oh, tomorrow, a big event, Singing Men of GNN at the Forest Preserve Park in Monticello, Illinois. For our Indiana listeners, there is a Monticello, Indiana, but this is Monticello, Illinois, 1411 North Market Street, and lots of parking, and there's a church right across the street from Forest Preserve Park, and so you can park there, but we'll begin at 6
p.m. Can you say that real fast, like four times?
Forest Preserve Park, Forest Preserve Park. Mayday, mayday, mayday. Arbor Day, Arbor Day. Anyways, free concert. Come on out tomorrow, 6 p.m., everyone, and enjoy an evening with the Singing Men of GNN. And Filippo's Pizza, thank you, God, for them. They're allowing all the Singing Men of GNN to be fed great pizzas, and it's going to be like half off, so cheap for us. And maybe if you go in there and you say, hey, how about I get half off on my meal? Maybe they'll cut you a deal or something. Can't promise you, but it's a great restaurant right there in Monticello on the main street.
Wonderful.
And we appreciate the Filippo's in Mahomet. They've had the station's Tootsie Pop display, I think, for about 20, 21 years. They've
been
one of the longest businesses that have had that. And I probably have to go in there every 2 weeks and fill one or two of them. Yeah, that's been a constant little missionary worker there for me for a lot of years. But appreciate Filippo's in Mohammed and certainly Monticello for helping feed the Singing Men this Saturday night. But come on out, 6 p.m. concert, free concert. There will be some seating, but don't hesitate to bring a lawn chair or a blanket and enjoy us. We'll be singing right under the open pavilion there, right off of 1411 North Market Street. And then I guess 5 weeks away, 5 weeks from tomorrow, Ivan Parker's coming to town June 10th. He's coming right here to the Great News Radio Center, and we'll probably either have him in this main hallway right in front of our center, or the main hallway where Dr. Erwin Lutzer had preached and the singing men sang. We had the theater troupe, the big setup in that north-south hallway. Mm. So we'll see. Once we know with the ticket sales, we'll adjust accordingly. But everyone will be wearing wristbands, so we will be able to identify those that have paid.
Is that a subtle hint that people need to buy tickets for this?
Yes, tickets. Get them in advance, $10 or $25 for special reserve seating. And
what does the reserve seating get us?
They get up close and personal right there at the very front near the stage, but there's more. They'll get a meet and
but
greet.
But wait, there's more.
Meet and greet with Ivan, but wait.
There's more.
There's more. There'll be light refreshments.
Oh.
And a reception in private time with Ivan.
What does that mean, light refreshments? Does that mean if I have a weight restriction, I can actually still handle them?
That means when you turn on a light, they're all gone.
They're all gone.
Light's on. That's gone. And so we'll have special arrangements. It means I haven't determined yet what we'll have. Maybe some cheese and crackers. Maybe I'll get Jan and Ken to come up with some kind of fix-ins or food. And I haven't decided if I'm going to use Unit 115B for the reception area or the center here because I thought, all the other listeners will want to be coming in here. So I'll probably hold it in another location just right near the stage. So we'll see how that all comes together. But put that on your calendar, June 10th, and purchase tickets now by going by our website, greatnewsradio.org. And the night of the event, we'll be handing out the VIP wristbands. And then we have some with the little circle smiley face wristbands. That's the general seating. But if you buy them the night of the event, they're going to be $5.
And they get to keep their wristband kind of as another little memento
token from the event.
Yeah.
So get your tickets, and you can call in, too, using your credit card. 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. Is it this next week? I think you're launching into a discipleship series, and we're still thinking about within the next few weeks of maybe Tuesday nights, I don't know, maybe starting May 16th.
Yeah, we haven't lined that out yet. We haven't gotten a chance to work on that, have we?
That's maybe coming up some point in this month. On a discipleship series right here at the Great News Radio Center on Tuesday nights, probably 6:30 to 8.
You better not tell anybody till we know exactly.
Now this is my mode of operation.
You're getting excited.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You want to open the Bible maybe, and then we'll like kind of redeem ourselves.
Yes.
We've gone off the rails for 9 minutes and 20 seconds.
Do we want to talk a little more about Psalm 18? We had to kind of rush through that. That was really
what is one of the longer psalms?
Yeah, I think it had 50 verses, and we only got up to about that spacious place. A lot of people love that verse. How does it begin?
He brought me out into a broad place, is what the ESV says, but a spacious place is what the NIV says. And he rescued me because he delighted in me. And again, this Psalm 18, where David begins by commending to us his love of the Lord. He says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my shield, my horn, my stronghold. You know, he's my help in ever-present trouble. You know, Paul would say later on in Philippians, I know what it means to be in want and in need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's almost what David is saying here. David's kind of hard. He's saying, in whatever circumstance might unfold in front of me, whatever place I may find myself, the Lord is these things. And I love the Lord. I love him more than anything. And I wonder, dear friend, can you say that today? Can you say, I love the Lord more than anything? More than anything. I want him to be the center of my desires. There's nothing else that can compete with who the Lord is in my life. And do you have words like David has? You know, strong words that when you come upon a situation where you're like, I feel so weak, but the Lord is my strength. I feel like the ground is shifting beneath me. The Lord is my rock. I feel like the enemy is attacking me. The Lord is my fortress. I feel as though I need deliverance, and he is my deliverer. He's my shield against those fiery darts. He's the horn. He is my stronghold. He is all of these things. And not only that, but as we began in verse 19, he brought me into a broad place in the midst of all my troubles. He brought me into a broad place, and he rescued me. Why did he rescue me? Because he had to? No, he didn't have to. because he needed to? No, he didn't need to. He did it because he wanted to, because he delights in me.
We could almost camp on that. It's unfathomable. This God of the universe, sovereign, king, beyond concept, beyond belief, beyond understanding, that someone so all-powerful, all-knowing, all-complete, without needs, doesn't change, isn't fickle, isn't wayward or wandering, but he delights in me, very personal. It's unfathomable. I think we could camp out on that concept the rest of our lives thinking, God, really? Do you think we ever get the essence of that concept?
No, like I told you the other day, I think that if we really grasped that the Lord delights in us, and by the way, when I say the Lord delights in you, I don't mean that like he's into you, like he's like, oh wow, Mark, you know, I'm just so enamored by your radio work. Like, I mean, you are just so amazing. That's not what it means when the Lord delights in us, because it's not that there's anything we can do that can woo him to like us more. He delights in us because we're his creation. Mm-hmm. He delights in us because he knows what we can be. You know, all the mornings you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you go like, oh gosh, if I could just change this and I could change this and I could change this. And the Lord looks at you and he goes like, don't change anything. Like, I love you. You're wonderfully and beautifully made. And you don't even realize your own potential. I think so often we are our own roadblocks to what should happen, what needs to happen in our lives. And a lot of it comes from the way we view ourselves, you know, kind of our own, we're our own worst critic. In fact, I just said that to somebody the other day. I said, you know, I'm my own worst critic. Like if I was to get in a room with a bunch of guys who are going to give me a review and I had to self-review, mine will be the worst one in the room, because I don't have that kind of, well, like, well, I'm all fours. You know, I'm always like, well, I'm a two or a one definitely here. You know, and so I think we're our own worst critics. We want to get down on ourselves. We want to be, and the Lord's like, no, I delight in you. Like, I love you. You know, and there's nothing you could do to earn that. You know, that's why I love, you know, Romans 5, where it says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners. And
still
so
sinners.
We already talked about that. I mean, God, what is God angry at? What does God hate? God hates sin. And so, you know, but God shows his love, the strength of his great love, the power of his great love. What in what? While we were still the thing he hates the most, he sent his son to die for us. Mm-hmm. Because he knew what we could become. He knew what we could be. He delights in knowing that. He delights every time a sinner says yes to the Savior. Because he knows what we can be in Christ. So much. I mean, I know so many people. You know, you could just have like a testimony hour. So many folks who were like deadbeats and met Christ and became dads, who were like moms without a purpose and met Christ and became mothers who are powerfully present and loving in their families, people who were, you know, addicted to different things and met Christ and their lives were changed. They were freed from addictions and bondage and sin and all of those things. And God's like, the thing I hate the most, I'm the only one who can draw you out of that. I'm the only one, and it's only through my great love, and I want to do it. I mean, that's even a thing that's even more mind-boggling for me, Mark, than just that he delights in me. That he delights in me so much that he will bear the burden and cost to bring me mm-hmm. into that place to know that. Like, he'll do everything that it takes for me to know that, because for most of us, we're not that way. We'll say, well, you know what, you got to earn respect. You've got to earn this. God's like, there's no way you could earn it, but I'm going to freely give it to you. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be amazing. I mean, when you really feel the strength of God's delight for you and through you, I think it fills all those kind of holes in your heart, all those places where you're like, but, and God's like, no buts. I delight in you.
Question I have, and I know you had no forewarning that I was going to jump back to Psalm 18, so let me do a little disclaimer. Jason wasn't prepared for this, but this delighting in me, and this is how I oftentimes will view it or see it or think about it, that he looks at me through Christ's shed blood, like mm-hmm. as if I have the garments of Jesus on. I mean, that's the only way he can
Colossians
really delight
3,
in
1
me.
Colossians 3, 1 through 4, yeah.
Now, him delighting in me, him delighting in many of our listeners, is he delighting in those that have received the Lord Jesus Christ, that are following him? Is this kind of exclusive? You have to be a part of the family. So if you're far from God and you haven't accepted Jesus, he's not necessarily delighting in them yet. Is he delight? Does he delight in it? He wants all to know him. So his love is extended, his grace and his mercy to everyone. But am I just reading into this that, well, he delights in those that have accepted his son?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, his delight is found in those that he sees clothed, as you said, in Christ. Colossians 1 through 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. When he looks upon you, he sees the Son. He sees the radiance of his glory. He sees the Son is interceding for us at the right hand of the throne of God in those moments. You know, there's very clear places in the Bible where he looks upon sinful people and he says, I hate you for your sin-stained clothing. I hate you for these things. And some people really struggle with that because they go, wait a second, if God is love, then how can this say that he hates people? You know, I don't understand that. And again, it goes back to that the strength of his love is that same strength as the strength of his hate. Now, some people will say, yeah, but God hates sin, not the sinner. But the sinner is the evidence of the sin. Sin without a sinner is simply just a thing. It's just an idea. You know, I mean, infidelity without two people is just a word. It's just a concept. It's just a thing. And so you need evidence of a sin. And so the sinner is the evidence, the outworking of that sin. And most times it's somebody who has willfully given themselves to that. I mean, I rarely believe that people are like, you know, well, I just fell into it. No, you didn't just fall into it. You made a conscious decision to go that route, the route that you shouldn't have gone. You have God's word. You have God's spirit. You should not have gone there. And so I think that it's the strength of God's love. I mean, God is, look at, and this is where I think that we really struggle with trying to understand God, don't we? Because God will say, I hate sin, okay? And but at the same time, he'll say, I love these people and want to redeem them. I mean, the strength of his love drives his redemption. And we can't do that. Like, if I say to you, I hate that person, there is no part of me that's going, but I want to, you know, I love them. There's not. I mean, the best evidence for this is always for me the book of Hosea, where God says to Israel and Gomer, Hosea's wife, is a picture of Israel, of unrepentant Israel. And he says things like, she's a harlot and she's a prostitute and she is all of these things. And then God says in there, but if you come back, if you turn. And so you have this moment where it's like, I hate all this about you, but if you turn. And that's grace, because for us, that's a gift that you don't deserve to get. That you know, for us many times, and I've even seen it where it happens in Christian circles, where somebody's like, I don't know why God saved them. They don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. You know how they've been. You know what they've done. Yeah, do you know what you've done? You know what we've all done? I mean, and Jesus took upon himself all the sins, past, present, and future in that moment. I think that's one of the things that when we do Easter and we do Good Friday that we don't often talk about all the time, is that in that moment, Jesus took upon him all sin, all of it, every single bit of it. He drank that cup to the bottom, you know, the cup of the wrath of God, all of it, every single bit of it, all the sin.
Yeah, past, present, and the future sin, which
of course,
is unfathomable.
It is absolutely unfathomable. And I mean, all the times when you're studying the Old Testament, you're like, gosh, these people are off the rails. Oh my gosh, Jesus is like, yes, I'll take all that upon myself too. And I'll take all that, yes, and that too. Oh yes, and by the way, the sin that I know that you will commit next year, I'm going to take that upon myself too. And I'm going to stand and intercede before the Father on your behalf. Mm-hmm. And that's incomprehensible for us because you know what? If somebody sins against you one time, if you're honest, it's hard for you to forgive them. And God says, seven times? How about 77 times? How about 77 times seven? You know, and so isn't that, it's unfathomable. We didn't even leave the one verse, right?
Yeah, no,
we didn't even leave the one verse.
Yes.
And so that's God's delight in us, is that he paid the ultimate price. God delights. It's almost like, you know, you go to dinner with somebody and you can't pay the bill no matter how hard you try. You're like, no, I'll get it. No, I got it. No, I'll, but I, no, I got it. Why are you doing this? Because I just love, you know, treating you. I just delight in you. And that's what God is saying. God's saying, I've got it all covered. Mm-hmm. I mean, so when people say to me, they're like, you know, I just don't know if I can accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I said, I don't know how you can't. He's done everything. He's paid the tab. He's paid the bill. He's offered you every single bit. And the only thing you have to do is get over yourself. That's the only thing you have to do. God has removed every other stumbling block that's in your way. And all you have to do is get past yourself. And I think that if we, again, I think if we lived within this verse, it would be so much different if people knew, wait a second, there's a God who delights in me, who wants to rescue me from myself and my sin because he delights in me. I mean, how many people who are out there who feel lost and feel alone? And maybe that's somebody right now, they're listening and they're saying, I feel so alone. I feel so lost. I feel so disconnected. I feel like there's nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Oh, that's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. There's a God who loves you, who delights in you, who wants to rescue you, and he already has done all the work on your behalf on the cross through his Son, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. who shed his blood for the forgiveness of your sin. Yes, even the ones you don't like to talk about. All of them. Every single one of them. And all you have to do is get beyond yourself and accept him as your Savior. That might be the hardest thing you do today, but I'm going to tell you it's the most important decision you will ever make in your whole entire life.
And there are some people, trained friends, that would talk with you about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, establishing that friendship, that knowledge that God loves you. You can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. And please seek out a Bible-believing church this Sunday, the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, your second week in the book of Exodus. And certainly I'm sure you would stay around a minute or two after church
sure.
if anyone said, hey, I really have some tough questions about what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
or
definitely.
Could God really delight in me? And so find a good church this Sunday, meet up with Pastor Jason Schiffo, or call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like